We want to do the first things first, and that's apologize. And usually always will wind up apologizing because it seems like everywhere I go I'm late. I hope I'm not late, you know, when it comes to doing something for Jesus. But my wife tonight, she said, "Well, we're going to be late." And I said, "Well, it's like I've heard, you know, Jesus never gets in a hurry, but he's never late." So I guess the Lord had somebody he wanted to say something before I got here. So I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm very grateful. We had just a little problem with the motorhome, and I'm just a little tired. You probably can tell that. I'm just a little tired. We just have come back about 2,500 miles of driving through Florida and the West, out in Del Rio and different places, and trying to do what we can for God. And we've just gotten back from Europe before we jumped into the motorhome, and have been to about 7 different countries there. And I tell you what, it'll make you tired. But I'm so grateful to have an opportunity to be here with the people and to see the people and their enthusiasm for God. And I'm very, very much appreciative to the fact that our brother Owens is kind enough to invite us up to be here in the camp meeting with us. I'm just grateful. And as our brother has stated a little bit earlier, I can assure you it's more than a camp meeting. It's more than a tent meeting. It's more than a gathering. You know, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my, I tell you what, I'm so glad for Jesus, Brother Richard. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so glad to God that one day I did learn about Jesus, and I did tap in on the real live wires, you know, and found out what was going on. And I'm glad tonight, not that we've merited anything, because I don't believe that anybody merits anything in Jesus. It's just all his grace and his kindness.
Amen.
But I'm so grateful tonight that I do understand. I do know what's happening. I know why it's happening. And I know what caused it to happen. Many long years ago, I didn't know. But tonight, I do. I know why we're here. I know why this is a tent meeting. I know why it's Brother Owens. And I know why it's in this part of the Carolinas. And I know why you're here and why I'm here tonight. And as I said, it's much more than just a gathering tonight. It's much more than just a gathering. As a matter of fact, this meeting here tonight has to do with the capstoning, or with the peak of a thing that's been taking place for many years right here. And the Lord chose Brother Owens in this tent, this place, in this area, for the thing to happen. Now, so then, it is so fantastic, and that's the truth from the bottom of my heart, and what I have understood, it is so fantastic till there is no vocal utterance that mankind has that can express it, explain it. There's just no way. But this, I know, as the song said, we're closer home than we was yesterday. Being here at this meeting, can I talk with you just a minute or two before I start hollering at you?
Amen. Amen.
All right, now, being here at this meeting has to do with a complete changeover. A complete changeover. In other words, coming to this meeting, according to what I've understood from God and what I've watched through the years, coming to this meeting has to do with a complete change of the government of the United States and that which will affect the world. And it has to do with a complete new move of God in the religious perspective. It will be completely new, altogether new. And from this point on, you're going to see the separating of the sheep and the goat. There's going to be a great move, but many people are going to go the wrong way. From this point on, there'll be a great religious move that'll sweep across the nation and across the world. Now, people are expecting this move. They know that there's a move coming. And something is about to take place. And they understand that. They know that. Even when we were over in Sweden, across the waters, just a few days back, they told us that we know that move's coming for the black, and said when it does, it's going to break out in Sweden. So they feel like it's going to happen in Sweden. And that's good. You know, you can't bring forth unless you're expecting, that's for sure. So I'm glad that they feel that way about it. But there's one thing for sure, and that is right here tonight, is the peak of the great thing that God is doing right here tonight in the Carolinas. And what better place could it be? We're not too far from the high point. And we're pretty close to Salem. And that's what Jerusalem was called to begin with, you know. Well, we're up here around, I guess back in here somewhere, there's a place called Golden Triangle back up here somewhere. And there's just a number of other things that's outstanding in this area. Back around through the Carolinas in here somewhere, I believe that Robert Mitchum or some of them made the movie called Thunder Road back up in here somewhere. And a few nights back, not too long ago, we had that vision of the Lord showing us that he was fixing to make a film called Thunder Mountain. And here we are back up in the mountains. So I feel like something is about to take place. And I know for a fact that something has mightily took place, and it has in general moved through the church world, and the church world has not seen it. I remember a great man by the name of William Branham that made a statement. He said, God is going to do a great thing. And said, when he does, he said, it's going to move through the church world, and they're not going to see it. And I can truthfully say from what I've understood, that in the last year or so, the Lord has done something that has been fantastic. And the church world has been completely blind as to seeing what it is. And there's no way to express it, because if you try to tell them, they take the outlook that you're vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, and they don't listen. But believe it or not, so help me God, it is just as accurate the way that we said it. So it would behoove us that at this time that we shake ourselves and awake from the slumber that the church world has gone into. And let me say this to you tonight. Don't forget that at the midnight cry, they were all asleep. How do you agree that they were all asleep? They were all asleep. I've said this a number of times. You know, we love to feel like that we're the ones that's not asleep. Isn't that right? Now, whatever denomination we are, whatever group of people we are, whatever religious sect we are, we love to feel that we are the people that did not go to sleep on God. But according to the Holy Scriptures, the Bible said at the midnight cry, they all were asleep. Amen. Is that right? Amen. All of them were asleep. That means that your church, and my church, and their church, and our church, all of them was asleep at the midnight cry. But yet there came a warning. There was somebody that stood up and cried out and said, the midnight is here. Arise, trim your lamps, and go out to meet the bridegroom. Amen. Now he said, Brother Pike, if that's true, if all of the virgins were asleep, then who was it at the midnight cry that made this proclamation? At the midnight cry, it was those that the Bible speaks of where he used the terms, the watchmen upon the wall. And I said, watchmen upon the wall that shall never hold their peace. Day or night, they shall not hold the peace. One writer said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. And I promised myself I'd never speak in your name again, Lord. But said it was like fire shut up in my bones and I had to speak. A preacher has got to speak. There's nothing else he can do. A lot of people wonder, you know, why that a preacher will go on saying things and preaching when everybody's so discouraged, but he can't help it. There's a little spring bubbling on the inside. And so then God in the Old Testament, he had those watchmen on the wall. They didn't sleep. They stayed there. And they warned the people at night when the enemy came near the wall. And so it is tonight, God has watchmen upon the wall. And they're watching. Paul said, we watch for your soul. And I'll be glad to be here tonight. Let me say I believe that you are. I believe that you are. That's a wonderful spirit. And I believe that you are. And I feel the least among you. And count it one of the greatest privileges that I could have to be here with you people and say something that might enlighten or encourage you in your endeavors for Jesus. All right. I want to apologize again. I'm sorry that I'm late. I'm sorry. But the Bible teaches that the preparation of man's heart is from God, and that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And no matter what happens, whether it be good or evil, you know, God does it. You know, if we could understand a little better God and his ways, it would be so much more wonderful. I preached a sermon the other night, and it was called Being Deceived by the Lord. How do you know that the Lord will deceive you? The writer over there said, Lord, you deceived me. But he does it in a just and a holy way. You can be deceived by the Lord. How do you know that God created the good and the evil and has his way in both? Amen. Works all things after the counsel of his own will. And how do you understand that if you go into temptation, that God leads you into that temptation? That's what the Bible said, pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, when we realize that God is so great and God is so mighty, and that God has his way in everything, it's then that we have the respect toward God that we really need. But as long as we feel like the devil is such a power that he can do a little bit and God can do a little bit, you know, and that God cannot handle the situation, then we don't have the respect for God that we need. But when we realize that God is the great and mighty creator, the everlasting God, the great I am, the beginning and the end, he's everything, from everlasting to everlasting. One writer said the day sprang from on high. When we realize that he is God, that nothing has happened from the beginning of time that's out of control, but that everything that has taken place, whether through my life or your life, or through Satan, it has been perfectly in accord with what God planned from the beginning. You know, we need to come to the place to where we realize that this is not just a haphazard thing that's happening through life. All of the wars and the tornadoes, all of the diseases, all of these things that oppress us, these are not just haphazard, but they are things that God has set in motion. God has set it up in such a way, you know, it's kind of a serve yourself sort of thing. In other words, he tells us, I set before you a blessing and a curse. And you just choose whichever one you want to. And if you choose certain ones, then certain things will happen to you. But if you choose the other way, then certain things will happen to you. And so then God has so set it up to where there is not one mistake. Everything is just beautifully perfect. And even though the devil would lead us to believe that God created Adam and Eve and created the earth back then, the garden, and that it got out of control and it got out of hand and that God couldn't handle it, yet that's not true. The devil would like for us to believe that, but nothing got out of hand.
Amen.
It was God's plan for Adam and Eve to fall. I can't tell you that tonight, and I can't prove that to you tonight. Now, a lot of you would debate with me over it and dispute with me over it, but I know for a fact it was his plan.
Amen.
Everything that he did, it was a perfect plan. Nothing went wrong with it, not one thing.
Amen.
Everything was the perfect plan.
Amen.
You say, Brother Pike, why would God subject the creatures of vanity? Why would he have such a plan to bring us into such a realm of suffering? Because God wanted to take a human being, and God wanted to make him into a God, just as he himself is, that he might communicate with God on the level of a God and not a human being. That's what God wants. Hallelujah. What a calling that is. That we ourselves can become gods. You know, a lot of people draw back from that when you tell them that, but that is what God wants. God wants us to become gods. He is not satisfied with us being mere human beings. As long as we're just mere human beings, the devil can take advantage of us. The devil can oppress us. The devil can beat us down. The devil can deceive us. The devil can mislead us. We lose our youth. We lose our health. We lose our happiness. We lose our prosperity. We lose our blessings. But brethren and sisters, when we follow Christ and we follow in the steps of the Lord,
then we are elevated to a realm that the devil can't get into. I like that, don't you? Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I like that. We get into another place where the devil can't come.
Hallelujah.
Now, I wish I really had time to preach to you tonight, but really you don't have time to preach. You know, you just come up and you say a few things and encourage the people and go on. But if you're going to preach, it's like Paul. He preached all night long, you know, and he got a message. Now, so it takes a little while when you got a message. But we just try to say something and encourage you and help you to go on. But, you know, Paul one time spoke of something. And maybe I'll say a few more words here and then I'll read a little scripture. But Paul spoke of something like this. He spoke of being caught up into the third heaven. You ever read that?
Amen.
See, there is a first heaven, there is a second heaven, and there is a third heaven.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
See, Paul spoke of the third heaven. That's the thing I'm interested in tonight, is the third heaven.
Praise God.
Now, there is a lot that we could say tonight concerning the heavens. You do believe there is a third heaven, don't you?
Amen.
Paul said there was. He said, I know such a one who was caught up into the third heaven.
Amen.
So then there is a third heaven.
Amen.
And tonight, if we had time to expound the way that we understand, the way that we'd like to, I'm sure tonight that you would enjoy thinking on these things concerning the first and second and third heaven.
Amen.
Now, I want to read just a little bit from the book of Revelation. And if you'll read with me, it's found over the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I want to read to you. I felt that when I come up here, that I would say something to you concerning the birth of the man-child. But I don't make any plans. That might sound strange to you, and perhaps not strange to some of you. But I don't make any plans. For many years, I've not made any plans as to what I'm going to preach, what I'm going to talk about. When I come to the sacred desk, I don't even know where I'm going to open my Bible to. I don't have nothing marked, nothing planned. I come to the sacred desk, I open my Bible, and whatever it is, that's where I preach from. Now, years ago, I didn't do this. Many years ago, I would plan, I would study, and I believe you ought to study. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, the workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I believe you ought to study. But I would plan what I was going to preach, and I would outline it. I would take all the precautions I can. That's all right. I'm not discouraging anybody here. I think that's wise. The wise man looks well to his going. But there is a place that you can come to in God to where the Bible said that it's not you that's speaking, but it's your heavenly Father speaking from within you. And he said, in this case, take no thought beforehand what you're going to say. For in the self-same hour it shall be given you what you shall speak. For it's not you that's speaking, but it's your heavenly Father speaking from within you. Alright, so one day we came to this place, we came to that crossing, and from that time on, for a number of years, we don't bother to see what it is. A lot of times God might let me know, as it was, before I came up here, I felt like God would say something concerning the birth of the man-child, but I made no preparation, I put no markers in my Bible, I made no plans, but when I opened my Bible, it is at Revelation 12, right exactly where I felt that God would have me say something. Alright, so that means that he and I are walking together. And I like that, don't you? I like that when I know that God is with me and I'm with God. I like that. It makes it so much better. It's not something that's cut and dry, but it's Christ. And what we need is the rule of the living God. Hallelujah. That's what stirs me tonight in my second of those things.
Hallelujah.
Alright, so then in Revelation 12, I want to read just a little bit to you, and I'll do my very best not to weary you, not to hold you long, and not to wear you out. But please listen. You're giving me your kind attention, and you know God is a spirit. John 4:24, God's a spirit. Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well, said, you have to worship God in spirit. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spirituals. And then John tells us the revelation of Jesus Christ is what the church needs. So they must speak. Now let me speak unto you as spirituals tonight. And you think of me as being spiritual tonight. And let's not know each other after the flesh, but after the spirit. Is that all right? All right. Now if I know you after the flesh, I'll say, well, you belong to the Baptist, you belong to the Methodist, you belong to the Presbyterian, here we get all crossed up. Isn't that right? But now, if I just know you after the Spirit, I said, well, you're God's creation. Hallelujah. I'm one, two, let's all just worship God together. Is that all right? I believe that the Baptist just as interested in finding out about God as anybody else, don't you? I believe the Methodist is. I believe the Presbyterian is. I believe the people of the earth, I believe they want to know what's going on. I believe that. All right, so then let's just love God and let's just worship here together. And in chapter 12, read with me, will you? It says, beginning at the first verse, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being the child cried, travailing birth and pain to be delivered. That's where the church is. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hear a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time of the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, let's read in the whole 12th chapter. I'm going to lay a good foundation for just a few words here. Now, I want, first of all, to say this. You know, Paul the Apostle was the apostle to the Gentile church. How many agree to that? Paul the Apostle was the apostle to the Gentile church. Now, I believe that we need miracles and healings and wonders in the church. I believe that unless somebody preaches them and somebody practices that the church is never going to be healed or have real divine deliverance. But I believe that along with that ministry, that is what the Bible refers to as the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, where do you read that, Brother Pye? In the book of John. It tells us in the very first part of the book of John. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servants. What did God give unto him? He gave unto him a revelation. And when Peter, John and James and the great men of God begin to preach wonders and signs and miracles. That was the great revival. But right in the midst of this great revival, God picked up a man by the name of Paul the Apostle, raised Paul up, and sent him to the Gentile church, and Paul came preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the purpose of that? Paul worked miracles. Paul preached healing. Paul had a great divine ministry of deliverance. Nobody can deny that. But Paul was sent to the celebrities of the earth, to the dignitaries. And Paul was well learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He understood. But with all of his brilliance, when God spoke to him, he had to make a change. He had to come into something he'd never known. And he got so lifted up in the Spirit of God that he looked back at the intellectual powers of the earth and he said, this world has what they refer to as science. He said, brethren, it is science falsely so called. What is science? Knowledge, that's what the word means. Paul said, there is a knowledge that is so superior to the intellectual powers of this earth until those people are like juniors playing with marbles and playing the jump ropes. He said, there is a knowledge that's so superior, that so surpasses all of the intellectual powers of the earth, all of the great colleges, all of the great students. He said, there is a knowledge so great. He said, brethren, though I have said at the feet of Gamaliel, and I have heard the greatest teachings that there are in the earth from one of the greatest men, he said, yet when I come into the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, all of my learning I count as dung. I'm determined to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. Know Him in the power of His resurrection. I like the way that He addressed the people. He said, I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. That's where the church is missing the glories of God. Paul said, I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. You know, when we take what he taught there, when he expounded to the people, after this fashion, he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. Is that right? Yes. What the church world need is not, they do not need a mind to feast. They do not need a mind to have great parties and great festivals. But they need a mind to suffer. Amen. He said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. For I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. Amen. Being made conformable unto His death. Why do you want to know Him that way, Paul? He said that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection. Yeah. If we're ever to know God in the power of the resurrection, we're going to have to know Him in the power, in the fellowship, in the suffering. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. All right, so this great power, this great dignitary, this great man of intellectual power, he talked to the authorities of that day. He talked to the rulers. He talked to the governors. And some of them marveled. And they looked at him, and he was so far advanced. They said, Paul! Much learning has caused you to go crazy. Said, you've lost your mind, Paul. Paul said, no. No. Hallelujah, no. You know, they're committed to the world. If you don't do what they say do, if you don't go the way they say go, they say he's off in the deep end. He's just done lost his mind. Say, you said, but why do you say that? He said, well, he don't teach it the way we teach. But you know, when Jesus preached, somebody said, well, I never heard it on this fashion before. Isn't that right? Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. I've never heard it like that. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so then Paul, the great power of God, as he spoke, they said, Paul, you're beside yourself. He said, if I am, it's for Jesus.
Amen.
If I'm beside myself, it's for Jesus. And I admit sometimes preachers get beside themselves, but it's for Christ.
Amen.
You ever got beside yourself?
Amen.
You ever got beside yourself? It's for Christ that we get beside ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We get excited in David tonight. Cut runs over. All right. So then this great apostle Paul, he began to preach a revelation. And Paul said to them, he said, "Brethren, behold, I show you a mystery."
Amen.
Here he is preaching something. You know, you don't find Peter saying, "Behold, I show you a mystery," now, do you?
Right.
You don't find James and John saying, "Behold, I show you a mystery."
Yeah.
But here you find Paul the apostle.
Amen.
And Paul said, "Behold, I show
Amen.
You a mystery."
Right.
He said, "We shall not all sleep.
Amen.
But we all shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, from this mortal body to an eternal body." Hallelujah. It's under in the heavens. So then, behold, I show you a mystery. What is this mystery, Paul? He said, "There is power in the blood." Hallelujah. He said, "There is healing. There is divine deliverance. There's everything that you could want, prosperity and all the great things of God." He said, "But there's something that's so greatly excels." Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What is it, Paul? He said, "We shall not all sleep."
Hallelujah.
All sleep. Jesus said, "Folks, tell me, what have I done? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I open the blind eyes? Didn't I stop the deaf ears? But why did you want to stone me?" That's the way it is with the revivals of the day. Men of God fasted and prayed, brought deliverance and done everything they could to help the people.
Amen.
But all the people break fall. They fell away with them.
Right.
Jesus said, "For what good work do you stone me?" How do you see this now?
Amen.
They said, "Preacher, it ain't for a good work.
Amen.
We like to be healed as good as anybody else.
Amen.
All them healings you've done today, that ain't it."
Yes,
but he said, "That's doctrine that you got." He said, "That's doctrine that you preach."
Right.
"It's contrary to the Sadducees."
Amen.
"And it's contrary to the Pharisees."
Amen.
"And it's contrary to the Roman powers."
Amen.
"It's contrary to the authorities."
Amen.
"And the dictators of the
world." Hallelujah.
But he said, "Doctrine of yours."
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
That doctrine. Oh, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Alright,
now I might get a repercussion here. You pray for me. Somebody will come in the pulpit now.
Thank you, Jesus.
And they'll say, "I don't preach doctrine."
Amen.
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 The Bible said, "Who cannot teach doctrine?"
Right.
I preach doctrine.
Amen.
He said, "What's your doctrine, Brother Potter?" "The Word of God."
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said, "You've got to have a doctrine."
Amen.
Paul said, "Lest I speak unto you by doctrine or by revelation, what shall I profit you?"
Right.
Sometimes I might speak with doctrine, sometimes Amen. By revelation.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
Hallelujah.
And they said, "Jesus, it's that doctrine that you have. That's what we don't like."
Right.
Right now, look at it. Let's see if that's right. What did they say? They said, "We don't care about them healings. We're glad." But said you, being a man, said you make yourself God.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
They don't like that kind of doctrine. The God of devil don't like that kind of doctrine.
Yeah.
He don't like that kind of doctrine. Is it not written in the scriptures that I call ye gods? Come on.
Amen.
Is it not written in the scriptures?
Amen.
Jesus said, Nicodemus, he said, "You're supposed to be a preacher.
Amen.
You're supposed to be a leader of Israel. And you don't know nothing about this." He said, "Well, it's written back there in the doctrine."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what I did? I said, "My, if there's something so strong that it would cause people to stone him to death concerning them gods, and if that's wrote in the Bible, I'm going to find out where it's at.
Amen.
And I got my Bible, and I began to thumb back through that. And I got over in the book of Psalms when old David was praying, and the power of the Holy Ghost come upon him, and the Spirit of God began to move. And the voice of the Lord spoke out and said, ye are God.
Amen.
And Jesus being the Word. Came and said, ye are gods. But ye shall die like men.
Amen.
Why? And why should we die? Jesus said, O Israel, why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you die? Said, ye are gods. Somebody said, Brother Pine, I can't believe I'm a God. I've used the simple little terms like this. A cat beget cats. A dog beget dogs. Isn't that right? A horse beget horses. And God beget God. That's what God said. We are sons of God and daughters of God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What was his doctrine? Hallelujah. He said, what was his doctrine? I'll tell you what it was. Jesus said, folks, I've come that you might have a life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I didn't come to establish the Baptist church and the Methodist church and the Presbyterian church and the Pentecostal churches. That's all right. If you got one to go to, you've got a good preacher.
Amen.
And they love you and they're trying to win souls. Stand with them. But he said, I didn't come for that purpose.
Amen.
That's not the purpose of the gospel, to build a church. No, so you need a church. And you ought to build a church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But he said, folks, that wasn't what I come for. He said, my mission in this world is to do the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
I must be about my Father's business. And I must finish that God gave me to do.
Amen.
I said, I've come that you might have life.
Amen.
Oh,
hallelujah.
I've come that you might have life.
Amen.
Life. What is the gospel of balance? Life.
Amen.
What is the preaching of the word? It's life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
Life. What makes a man a blind man to see? He said, he sent his word and brought life.
Amen.
By healing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What causes a lame man to walk?
Amen.
He said, his word. His words of life and healing.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm talking about deliverance.
Amen.
Bodily deliverance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By the word of God.
Amen.
The church needs deliverance.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Who's going to deliver? Said, in that day, no man shall save them.
Amen.
Right. He alone shall be exalted in that day.
Amen.
Who is he? The Word.
Amen.
The Word alone shall be exalted in that day.
Amen.
He. There shall be no orators. There shall be no presidents. Folks, listen. The Bible teaches that we are not to speak evil of our dignitaries. There's no power but that which we ordained of God. When I was in Sweden and other countries, I didn't speak against the king and queen.
Right.
Because I believe God raised them up. But I want you to know something tonight. With all the respect I've got for our president cannot save America.
Amen.
The kings and queens of the world cannot save the world. The Bible said in that day, there shall be no healing medicines. The hospitals, though as good as they are, they can't get the job done. Amen. Hallelujah. You go into them sick, you come out of them sick.
Amen.
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 I've worked on jobs where we took them in the front door and then quietly go around to the back after a few days and roll them out the back door. But everybody was going out the front door, they was happy because they thought everybody was getting healed. But the others, we just put on cold storage until the man could come around. You understand what I'm saying, folks?
Amen.
Glory to God, I'm talking about life.
Amen.
The Bible said he upholdeth all things by his words. He spoke the world into existence by his word. What is this word? What is this word? This neglected word. This word that the Jews had and let dust get over it. The word that America's got and let dust cover it in the corner. What is this word? All the apostles, the Bible, the Spirit said, you count yourself unworthy of eternal life. And he said, God's going to the Gentiles. And he said, this word, oh, hallelujah, this word. He said, you've got the word of God, but it don't profit you because you put no faith, no confidence in it. That's the trouble with the church world. See, the word will heal them. The word will deliver them. The word will make everything right. The word will take away the oppressing spirits. But the Bible said, with his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Translate this a little bit more. All right. Now again. Here's this great apostle. What is he doing? And Paul said to them, said, folks, he said, there is a thing that is called types and shadows. Are you listening now? There is a thing that is called types and shadows. That is, there is something that is typical of something. And that all the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which we see and the things which do appear around us. So that we are without excuse even to the eternal Godhead. Now, there is types, there is shadows. Everything that is natural, a car, a home, a life, a baby, a mother, a daddy, a dollar, something great in the world, represents some invisible spiritual power, some invisible spiritual source. And this world existence, the Bible tells us that it exists because of that invisible power, that invisible greatness of God. It exists because of that. You understand?
Amen.
So then there is another world. And folks, let me tell you something. As worldly as the church world has got to be, I'm going to have to tell you something.
Amen.
You are not of this world.
Amen.
You might as well lose your appetite for it. Because it's going to pass away.
Amen.
You are not of this world.
Amen.
There is another world.
Amen.
Come on now. I know there's a religious body coming up. And I know that religious body loves this present world. The Bible said they love this present world. That's why they crucified Jesus. If Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And he said to Herod, you're a great power. But someday, you're going to pass away. You're just going to melt away. All of your riches and power and dignity and education and authority is going to be nothing. And folks, we are now approaching that hour. You understand what I'm saying? We're approaching that hour. Oh, there is a spiritual world. Oh, it's a lot closer than you think it is. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spirituals. It is a lot closer than you think. He said that if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust that is the desire of the flesh. You say, what is the Spirit, Brother Pike? What do you mean, walk in the Spirit? Because there's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, and there's a third heaven. And when you talk about heavens, you're talking about powers and authorities and dignitaries. You understand? You're talking about minds. Let's bring it down to that. Talking about minds. One mind, two mind, three mind. Man's mind, angel's mind, God's mind. You follow this? See, man's mind and God's mind is supposed to be one mind. God created man as a tabernacle so God, who is the Spirit, could tabernacle in humanity. We should be the membership of the great God body and walk for nothing. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not be sick. Hallelujah. Oh, he makes me to lie down in the green pastures. Hallelujah. I shall not be disturbed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord is going to talk about deliverance now. Hallelujah. I'll not be worried about the situation. Someone said, I wish that preacher would heal me and deliver me. I wish that somebody would keep me from being in the sorrow I'm in. Don't you know that you've got power to do that?
Right.
Faith in His Word, Jesus said, for you not to let your heart be troubled. What are you doing letting your heart be troubled anyway? Shame on you. Shame on you. Stop doing it. You say, how can I do that for the power? By faith in the Word. What is your problem tonight? What is your problem tonight? Oh, you said, Brother Pike, there's so many things that I need that I don't have. All right, what's wrong? Unbelief? Why not? The Bible said, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to your paycheck. Well, according to His riches and glory. All right, then you don't believe it. That's why you're troubled. Start believing what God said about it. And you'll stop being troubled. They said, Brother Pye, do you really believe that if I believe that I won't be troubled? If you believe what God said about it, how can you be troubled?
Right.
Because you believe, you know that it's going to happen.
Amen.
And if you know that all of your needs are going to be met, then why could you worry?
Amen.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Just trust in God and believe what God said about it. My God shall supply your needs. Somebody said, but I'm separated from a wife and she's my heart. That's your need. Isn't that right? The Bible said God told me that I needed a wife. Isn't that right? You say, but I need a good automobile. All right. God said, I'll take care of it. Come on now. Come on, but there ain't no buts about it. The Bible said, yea and amen, all of the promises. You say, I believe, but you do not believe because there's no buts about it. It's just yea and amen. God said, so it is. Somebody say
hallelujah.
If God, you say, I'm sitting on the pike. I just say, but I believe God. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Bible said God sent His Word and healed him. Where did God send His Word and healed him? The Bible said, by His stripes you were healed.
Amen.
You were healed.
Amen.
Somebody said, I believe it, but you can't do it that way.
Right.
Come on now, you can't do it that way.
Amen.
There is no believing about it, but.
Amen.
If God said you are a well person, then you are not sick.
Praise
God. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Hey, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Word.
Amen.
The Bible said for the preacher to preach the Word. He said for you to do the believing. Now, isn't that right?
Amen.
I'm preaching the Word, you do the believing.
Amen.
Come on now. I've got your responding.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. What a gospel. What a kingdom. What a people. Solomon said, I can't even talk to you people. You're so great. Amen. That's right. Who can stand before gods? You stand before brute beasts of this world like a president does. But who can stand before gods? Gods who can't die. Gods who can't be sick. Gods who have no poverty. Gods who own heaven and earth. Somebody say
hallelujah.
Can I go just a little further? I ain't even never scratched the surface. You know, like a little hen scratching with a chisel. I ain't never scratched the surface good yet, and I know I'm going to have to close in just a few minutes. But I had a message tonight, but I didn't really able to get it over just a little bit here to help the cause. But listen now. This Paul, what was he doing? Paul said, folks, there's something great. Now look just for a few minutes at some present day happening. Try to look at it. I was in school. I'll just look at it for a few minutes. He said, types and shadows. And here he goes to talking to Peter, and Peter's raising the dead, and Peter's healing the sick. Peter's doing all these great things, and finally Peter just said, phew. And Paul says things that hard to be understood.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Peter's got the keys to the kingdom.
Amen.
And he said, that fellow says things is hard to be understood.
Amen.
You know, sometimes preachers in this day, they'll preach things that's hard to be understood. Is that right?
Amen.
But if you'll listen, you'll get it, and you'll be glad when you get it.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
You know, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, this is just a simple gospel. See, you're getting way off on the deep end. Because this is just a simple gospel. You don't make it complicated. I know the gospel is simple. Repent. Believe the gospel. I know that. And that's what I want to talk about. See, Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness.
Amen.
I'm speaking of godliness. Godliness. You say, well, what do I need to know about godliness? Because he said, add to your experience virtue and then godliness. Is that right? Patience. Then godliness. Godliness. Seek godliness. That would cover a lot of territory we can't go into it tonight. But I want to give a thought to you. Great is the mystery of godliness. There is a mystery. That's why Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." It wasn't shown to the Jews. That's why the Jews were cast out of the presence of God. That's why until this very day they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We just come back from Israel last year. And I talked to some of them that they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You can't convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. They say he's a good man. You understand what I'm saying? But they believe the Bible. They believe what Moses said. You follow me?
Yeah.
You follow me? Oh, I could say some things here. But anyway, godliness, there is a mystery. And folks, it's going to take a little concentration. It's going to take a little perseverance. It's going to take a little time, a little concern, a little desire to be able to develop the mind of God and understand the mysteries. Jesus was preaching, and the apostle said, "Why is it that you speak to these people in parables?" Said, "They don't understand what you're saying. Neither does the world today." But Jesus said, "It is not given to them to know the mysteries."
Right.
Now you understand? Now I want you to see this now. Look, he did not say that it was not given unto them to know the gospel.
Right.
He said, "Preach the gospel to every creature."
Amen.
But he reserved something for the church. Amen. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm sending an apostle to the church."
Amen.
They said, "Jesus, they don't understand." Jesus said, "It's not given to them." But he turned to them apostles. He said, "But unto you it is given. You understand that it's of the kingdom." Glory to God. Somebody would say, "Brother Pike, why waste my time on mysteries when I can go heal the sick and do all them things, and that's good. Wasting your time on mysteries, that ain't going to stop you from healing the sick. That's going to give you real deliverance ministry." Come on, instead of a play or a show, it'll give you a real mystery, a real ministry. So you say, "What are you talking about, Brother Pike?" I mean that there is a need for the mystery of God. You know God doesn't waste his time. If God is a spirit, it's a great mystery of godliness. What need is there for me to know mysteries? Because the only way that death can be conquered is to understand the mystery of godliness. The church has more cunning than a blind eye healed. The church has more cunning than to be made. Come on, come in. The world has that blessing. He pours out his spirit upon all flesh. A rank sinner can get healed. The Bible says, "The rain on the just and the unjust." A person that's a sinner can speak in tongues, dance, shout. Like Balaam. Murder in his heart. Saul. Prophesy of the anointing.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean that you've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What need is there for the mystery of the kingdom of God? The mystery of the kingdom of God is the only way that you can escape death. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep."
Amen.
Sleep. If you don't want to die, somebody would say, "But Brother Pike, is the point of the man wants to die." Every man. I ain't even get to this part about the woman on the moon. It's a point of the man wants to die. Every man's got to die. But Jesus said, "Why will you die, O Israel? Said, ye are gods, but you shall die like men."
Right. Amen.
Why? Because it is appointed unto man wants to die. But he said, "Ye are gods."
Amen.
It is not appointed unto God to die. God can't die. That's the point of the man wants to die. Let me pass from death and life.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Don't make you feel better.
Hallelujah.
I want to devil to get me. Satan, get off me. Get behind me.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The Bible said he's born of God, keeping himself, and that evil one touches him.
Hallelujah.
Don't let him hang around you and tell you that he's defiled you, he's butchered down. You're no good enough to get away from you. The devil, you didn't even much as touch me.
Hallelujah.
I'm covered by blood.
Hallelujah.
I feel cast down, feel weary, feel tired.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I can't let it stop. Let's stand together with you. I tell you what, I'm just barely getting started, and I guess we better stop right here. And Father, we go to the deep of the water again. Love Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, speaking of water, I sure wish we had some. Okay, I sure appreciate that. Here. God bless you, folks. Here. This is not just another meeting. God didn't just have another meeting. He didn't just have Brother Howard to come out here and set this tent up. That isn't it. But something great, spectacular, and mighty in the Spirit is taking place.
Amen.
You know, I believe that God is a sensation. Don't you have to believe God's a sensation? I believe it's sensation. God's a sensation now. I believe something sensational is taking place. And I have not seen, never have I seen, never, you said, but our church did, but it didn't. I have not seen, and the ear has not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of men at any time, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Now they're a mystery. See, they're a mystery. Somebody's been waiting for the plight. I can study and I can get it. No. I can fast and I can get it. No. My angel said, where are we fasting? You don't take no notice. He said, that ain't the way. Come on now. Pray? No. Study? No. They said, well, how can we get it? Only one way. God, to make sure that he was going to be chief. The Bible said he said it abundantly and above. Is that right? All. That we can ask or even thank. See, it's above your thinking. It's out of the realms of your thinking. He even tells us that don't lean to your own understanding. Don't think your own thoughts. Isn't that right? It's a faith project. Why, if you think your own thoughts and you're sick tonight, do you believe you're going to be healed? Certainly not. If you say, well, I'm lame tonight, and I think I'm lame, and I know I'm lame, well, you ought to stay lame. Isn't that right? Because the thing that made you lame was believing that you was lame. Thinking that you was lame, you thought yourself into it. Now try to think yourself out of it. Come on now. I said the devil got to talking to you and you thought yourself into it, but now you try to think yourself out of it. You love Jesus?
Yeah.
All right. But I'll tell you what. There is something that is abundantly above our thinking. And if we refuse to lean to our own understanding, and all the reasoning we do, we reason with this. Come and let us reason together. To reason like this, and begin to think like this, and begin to live like this, and begin to believe like this. Oh, my brother, your world will change. Your cup will run over. Your body will be healed. Your deaf ears will be unstopped, and I know you couldn't hear if you're deaf. I'm speaking, I don't even know what I'm talking about. The blind eyes will be open. The lame would walk. You say, how could that possibly be? Because the Word came to heal them. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And who is Jesus Christ? He's the Word.
Amen.
He was the Word to Israel. He is the Word to the Gentiles.
Amen.
He's the Word, the same Word that spoke the world into existence.
Amen.
The same Word yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And that Word was made flesh and walked the Galilee and showed us. And my God's desire is to make this Word flesh. Now let that lame leg be healed. That blind eye be opened. That deaf ear unstopped. It's God's planned purpose to make that Word flesh. Not only to a healing, but to the intent that that body cannot die. We shall not all sleep. Lazarus sleepeth, but I'm going to wake him up, Jesus. Well, Mary and my friend, you know, they said, well, we believe in that. We believe that doctrine. We know it's going to come. And one of these days, the resurrection is going to come, and my brother's going to wake up again. And they wept. Jesus, oh, my Lord, Mary. Don't you understand? So I'm already here. What are you waiting for? What do you say someday? Don't you know the Bible said God is a prisoner here in the time of need? Since when did God ever die? When did God ever go to sleep? When did God ever make any future plans? There is no future with God. There is no past with God. He said, go, just tell him I am. You say, I am what? I am the resurrection. I am the power of God. Hallelujah. I am every desire and every need. I'm not the mirror. Don't you understand? I'm already here. Oh, my. And then Jesus will help. Hallelujah. What compassion.
Mary will.
Martha will. And Jesus will. Amen. When he got through crying, he said, Lazarus. I've been over there where that place is. I've been down that tomb, and that tomb is way down. Way down the ground. He said, Lazarus. No, Brother Lazarus could have walked out. He just got up, come walking out. Jesus probably just brushed the tears out of his eyes and said, loose him and let him go. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, why should you die? David said, I can't praise you in the grave, oh God.
Amen.
Can you praise God in the grave? Now give me one good reason why you have to die. Give me one good reason why a human being should die. Why should you lay in the dirt? Why should you have somebody to cut your jugular vein, pump you full of blood, and lay you in a casket? Why should you do that? What good is that to God? You say, well, that's the way God wanted it. The Bible said, death is God's enemy.